And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio. We have the Surf Lords in the background cranking it up with Burke's Tiki Teardrop, and on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico, the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. Mickey, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. My St. Louis Blues are looking pretty strong in the second round of the playoffs, and onward and upward, we hope.
Okay, and there's an Albuquerque connection to that that music that we used for the introduction as well.
Well, there certainly is. Burke's Tiki Teardrop is named after a famous watering hole in downtown Albuquerque called Burke's Tiki Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen lots of good bands there, and they've recently are moving. They're moving from Gold to Central Avenue, kind of a more centrally located part of the bar scene in downtown Albuquerque.
Okay, you don't have a bar stool there reserved for you, do you?
No, I used to have a spot at the foosball table, which came out of my neighbor's garage, but that foosball table got beaten up many years ago.
Okay, well, quite the switch for this program from the last time out, Mickey. We did a two-parter on iron ore. Now we're moving all the way down to the bottom of the barrel as far as metals demand is concerned. We are zeroing in on scandium. You had informed us last time out that this metal has the least amount of demand four metals in the world. We're going to talk about that later, but let's begin on the ground floor. We're talking about number 21, I believe, on the periodic table, silvery white element. Tell us about the characteristics.
Well, scandium, number 21, as you said, silvery white. It's often combined with the rare earth elements. It has some association in minerals that host rare earths, but really no common characteristics. Lanthanum, yttrium are below it in the periodic table. +3, cation, one natural stable isotope, scandium-45. It's not really that rare, 18 to 25 ppm in the Earth's crust, which would make it about the 35th most abundant, equal to cobalt.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with scandium, it's interesting metal, but it occurs only in trace amounts in well over 100 minerals, and it's only concentrated in some very rare earth element minerals.
Okay, so in fact, it's not a rare earth element, but the one part about its characteristics that kind of, I guess, people think of it as being a rare earth element, in that it's out there in great abundancy, but it's you don't find a lot of it concentrated in areas which really make it mineable kind of thing, right?
Well, that's exactly right,
mm-hmm.
Rob.
We haven't known about scandium for very long. Mickey, what, discovered in the late 1800s?
Right, as many of the these more obscure metals were found or discovered. Mendeleev predicted it in 1869, no surprise there.
Mm-hmm.
Another 10 years passed, and a Swede chemist named Nielsen, I don't think he was related to Harry, but Nielsen Smielsen,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Detected in spectrographic lines in some really obscure rare earth element minerals, euxenite and gadolinite. I don't even know how to pronounce it, Rob. Gadolinite.
Mm-hmm.
It was isolated as scandium oxide, but it still took quite a while. It wasn't until 1937 that metallic scandium was produced by electrolysis. In 1960, there had been a total of a half a gram produced. By 1971, the U.S. had patented it for alloys of aluminum.
Okay, and the fact that the person who discovered it, Nielsen, is Swedish, that's reflected in the name. I mean, I believe it was after Scandinavia that he based the name Scandinavia.
Well, exactly right. Mm-hmm. And if you recall, or listeners recall, most of the rare earth element minerals were discovered in Sweden back in the mid-1870s. So we didn't really know about this whole line of minerals before that. So the Swedish, the Scandinavian connection is well-founded.
Now, when you told me, Mickey, that this metal had the least amount of demand or use in the world, I didn't think it would be as small as it is. 10 tons per year? Is that correct?
Yeah, approximately? Something 10 to 15 tons a year. But let's clarify, it's not, I mean, there's a lot of other metals that are used in much less amounts, but they're very obscure. This is the smallest production of anything we would call an industrial metal.
Okay. Whereabouts is it produced? Where do we find it today?
Well, it occurs in many places, but the production really occurs mainly as a byproduct to uranium rare earth element mines in China, Ukraine, Russia, Kazakhstan, so very much dominated by those countries who produce rare earth element minerals or metals. There's many other places that it has very minor production. There's a lot of research and a lot of pilot plant studies going on trying to find out ways to produce this metal because it does have some interesting uses.
Okay, well, let's talk about its uses, Mickey. And it's fairly extensive when you consider the small amount that is produced every year, but it's a fairly important metal, is it not?
Well, Rob, I don't really know if it's fairly important, but it does have some possibilities. It functions very similarly to titanium. It occurs just to the left of titanium in the periodic table. But the problem is titanium is much cheaper and abundant. I mean, that's a bulk mining situation in heavy mineral sands. That said, it can be used and has been used and continues to be used as an alloy of aluminum in aerospace components, especially MiG fighters. So Russia's got a stockpile that continues to supply probably something on the order of half the world's yearly supply comes from Russian stockpiles, or not even Russian, Soviet-era stockpiles. So it's basically used as an alloy to strengthen and lighten aluminum. Is used in baseball bats, sports equipment, baseball bats, aluminum baseball bats, bike frames, lacrosse sticks. You know, I've actually gone to a batting cage and used an aluminum scandium alloy bat, baseball bat, and the ball just jumps off of it.
Right.
It's also a kind of a critical element in lighting for TV cameras because high-intensity metal halide lamps, basically mercury vapor lamps, approximate the distribution of electromagnetic light in sunlight. So it really functions to replicate sunlight on TV sets. But to let you know how important this is in the world, about 80 kilograms per year are used for this, and about 20 kilograms of that's used in the U.S.
Okay, minuscule indeed. What do you think of aluminum baseball bats, I wanted to ask you? You're a bit of a purist, aren't you, when it comes to your favorite sport?
No, I tell you, I'm a purist. I play baseball. I consider softball to be a girl's sport, but hardball, you know, I prefer using an aluminum bat because it makes me stronger and hit the ball farther.
Okay, yeah. You wouldn't be launching them out into the outfield as deep as they are going with a wooden bat, would you?
No, you would not want to see aluminum bats in the pros. I mean, there's debate as to even... I don't even think they use aluminum bats in college now. That's all gone back to wooden bats now.
Okay, Mickey, we had talked about how scandium is used in terms of a strengthening element in terms of aluminum alloys, you know, baseball bats, bicycle frames. Those are some of the major uses, I guess. What about the minor uses, and is this a product that has seen increased demand over recent years?
Well, in addition, we just talked about TV lighting, but... lasers and rare earth element garnet lasers. It's a very specific kind of laser, so it's used in that. It's got great possibilities for fuel cell technology. Some other minor uses in ceramics. The real problem with it is it's so rare, it's so hard to concentrate, no real deposits of it to speak of, or at least no economic ones right now. The metals and the compounds are priced per gram. So you'll see $5 per gram, $10 per gram, even up in some of the minerals I saw prices of $200+ a gram. Mm-hmm. So compare that to titanium, which it replaces, or it actually functions better in aluminum alloys, but titanium sponge metal is priced at $11 per kilogram. So that's, so this stuff is what, $1,000 to $2,000 more expensive per gram than titanium is, and that really limits it.
Yeah, limits it, and a very tiny market, so very little transparency, I'm assuming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, how active is the junior area of the mining sector in terms of a scandium?
Probably more active than it needs to be, in my opinion, Rob.
Okay.
You know, investors, speculators, always in some newsletter writers seem to get enthralled with these obscure specialty metals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are projects in New South Wales of Australia, Toronto Venture Exchange, Northern Queensland, Australian Exchange. The Japanese are trying to recover titanium or scandium from titanium oxide pigments. You know, titanium oxide is one of the main whiteners in white paint, so trying to recover it from that. There's a pilot plant in the Philippines trying to recover scandium from nickel laterites. It just goes on and on. In Russia, trying to recover through pilot plant from aluminum smelter waste. If you remember when we talked about aluminum and the red mud and the vast amounts of waste there. Pilot plant recovery in Russia from uranium production. So it kind of goes on and on with these attempts to basically supply scandium at a legitimate price to the market. I mean, it does have some really interesting characteristics, but once again, there's no demand. And and really the thing here is there's really no source, which equals little production, which equals little demand, which leads to little application. So scandium has great possibilities, but future doesn't look so bright right now, in my opinion.
Not getting a nickel of your money, is it?
I think not.
Okay, good stuff. Nice way to wrap it up, Mickey. We got the Surf Lords warming up in the background. That means our time is up. Next time out, what are you thinking?
Well, we're going to continue. I found four elements in the periodic table that we haven't covered. We'll cover them all at once, and that's the obscure platinum group element metals. We've covered platinum and palladium many times.
Yes,
but
we have.
We really never talked about osmium and iridium and ruthenium, and there's one here, rhodium. So we'll talk about those four metals next.
Okay, great stuff. Talk to you in a couple of weeks, Mickey, and fingers crossed for your St. Louis Blues to keep on winning.
Well, we're, I think, 40% of the way to 16 wins. We've got six now, so not even halfway there yet.
Okay, good stuff. It'll get there, Mickey. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right, thank you, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.